This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's the other surprising part.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
If the Jets go 2-0 to start the season, I will show up on that Monday show with a bottle of Opus One in between my legs like I'm LeBron James. In white pants.
Today's guests. Senior NBA writer for The Athletic, Sam Amick. Four-time WNBA champion, Sue Bird. Senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're live in Los Angeles on a Friday, getting set for a wild sports weekend that wasn't so darn wild when we left here yesterday. Good to have everybody here on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM Odyssey. Tune in and more. We're all over the spot. And guess what? You can listen to us on our podcast all 3 hours through the Cumulus Podcast Network, all 3 hours of any day of the week. Check us out. We greatly appreciate it. We'd love anybody who checks out our YouTube page as well, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. All our social media feeds at Rich Eisen Show, except for TikTok at The Rich Eisen Show. And we thank all the kids out there for sending us over the 200,000 follower threshold. Maybe just maybe what Susie and I talked about yesterday for a little bit put us over the top. Susie, we've had quite a 24 hours. Good to see you over there.
Glad to be back. I'm glad they let me in the building.
Good to see you. Susie Schuster sitting in for Chris Brockman, who's in Jacksonville, Florida, taking on the Sawgrass on behalf of a charity golf tournament.
With his mugshot. Where's his mugshot?
His mugshot. Good to see you over there, Jay Felly.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Rich?
Where's Mike?
I don't know.
Okay. TJ Jefferson, good to see you.
Hey.
Candles already lit?
Candles lit. The brothers in the corner. Let's go.
Guess what? Felly and I both stopped at Randy's. We've got donuts galore. So, I mean, I'm just saying Monday, we may have leftover donuts with our Bloody Marys or with our
Ain't nobody eating three-day-old donuts, though, Suze. Like,
okay.
You have to get some more donuts.
Take them home to your mom.
We got 3 hours to get through first as we're looking over the steering wheel. When we left this show yesterday, did not think two things were possible. One, the Denver Nuggets would be down by at least 50 points in Game 6 in Minnesota at one point and wind up losing by 45 as the worst loss in the postseason ever suffered by any defending champ. No defending champ had ever lost a playoff game by 36 points or more in their title defense, and the Nuggets lost by 45 last night. Did not think that was possible.
No.
Nor did I think that the guy who won the latest green jacket would be wearing an orange jumpsuit by morning. Didn't think that either about Scottie Scheffler. And I'll be straight up. When I woke up this morning and Suze was still asleep, that's okay.
Why'd you have to mention that?
No, I mean,
what do I have to do with that?
Nothing to do with that. It's just, I don't know. I'm painting the word picture because, you know, listen, the person who normally sits in that chair is not sharing a bed with me. You know what I'm saying?
I hope not.
Okay. But I woke up. I made an audible like, oh, like that. And I'm glad that he did not wake her up because it was, you know, in the 5 a.m. hour. And honestly, when I opened up the hellscape known as X and I just to see what's going on and I saw a mugshot of Scottie Scheffler. I thought this had to be a joke. It had to be some form of a meme. Somebody put this together.
Photoshop.
Not even old. I mean, this guy's clean as a whistle, right? I mean, he's never run afoul of the law. I didn't think. And it also looked recent. Like, that looks like Scottie Scheffler. And I thought to myself, what happened? And I started unpacking what happened. And, you know, first of all, it's all born out of somebody losing their life on a street outside of Valhalla this morning in the 5 a.m. hour there in Kentucky. I don't know what happened, but apparently one of the shuttle buses struck a pedestrian.
Yeah.
And this individual is lost his or her life. I don't know what happened, but it's raining out, it's dark out, and there's a lot of sirens and a lot of flashing lights, and into this traffic fray shows up Scottie Scheffler shows up. And apparently in a marked PGA car with his credentials on the dashboard.
Oh.
According to his lawyer. And I don't know what happened. Jeff Darlington is the only one in our business who witnessed it. He has been all over ESPN this morning. And the video he took of Scheffler being let off in handcuffs after what he and his lawyer are terming a traffic misunderstanding. As Jeff Darlington says, a police officer who is attempting to stop Scheffler from going around the bottleneck of the traffic jam to get into Valhalla told him to stop. His car wasn't stopped. And as Darlington said, a police officer attached himself to the car.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then 10, 20 yards later is when Scheffler stopped the car. That is when Scheffler rolled down the window and was removed from the car, placed in handcuffs. And anybody who sees the video on Darlington's Twitter account can hear an officer screaming at him to back up. And Scheffler, according to Darlington, said, "Please help me." And the officer said, "He's going to jail. There's nothing anybody's going to do about it. So back up." Mm-hmm. And off to jail, Scottie Scheffler goes. I have the right in front of me right here, the police report. Because he was charged with four charges. The assault second degree of a police officer charge is a felony. There's three other misdemeanors he's been charged with. The officer in charge here was directing traffic at gate one of the Valhalla golf course due to the road being closed in both directions from an earlier fatal collision. Listed subject was driving eastbound to gain access to the course. Subject pulled into the westbound lanes where outbound traffic was flowing, avoid backed up traffic. Detective Gillis was in the middle of the westbound lanes in full LMPD uniform and a high visibility yellow reflective rain jacket. Stopped subject and attempted to give instructions. Subject refused to comply and accelerated forward, dragging Detective Gillis to the ground. Ooh. Detective Gillis suffered pain, swelling, and abrasions to his left wrist and knee. He was transported to the hospital for further medical treatment by emergency medical personnel. And this last line, boy, Twitter's having a field day with it. Detective Gillis's uniform pants, valued at approximately $80, were damaged beyond repair. Don't see that too often in a police report. Scottie Scheffler, right? I know Scottie Scheffler took to, I guess, is this Instagram? Okay. "This morning I was preceded as directed by police officers. It was a very chaotic situation, understandably so, considering the tragic accident that had occurred earlier. And there was a big misunderstanding of what I thought I was being asked to do. I never intended to disregard any of the instructions. I'm hopeful to put this to the side and focus on golf today. Of course, all of us involved in the tournament express our deepest sympathies to the family of the man who passed away in the accident earlier this morning. It truly puts everything in perspective. As we know, Scheffler's first child was born just a few days ago." I don't know if we have his statement from his lawyer, because that was released just moments ago. Good job, everybody. Okay, Pat 40 tweeted it out from Yahoo. "In the early hours of the morning in advance of his tee time, Scottie was going to the course to begin his pre-round preparation. Due to the combination of event traffic and a traffic fatality in the area, it was a very chaotic situation. He was proceeding as directed by another traffic officer and driving a marked player's vehicle with credentials visible. In the confusion, Scottie is alleged to have disregarded a different officer's traffic signals, resulting in these charges. Multiple eyewitnesses have confirmed that he did not do anything wrong, but was simply proceeding as directed. He stopped immediately upon being directed to and never at any point assaulted any officer with his vehicle. We will litigate this matter as needed, and he will be completely exonerated." Number one player in golf. Woke up this morning, headed to the course in the rain in Kentucky, in Louisville, Kentucky, and had no clue what was going on in front of the Valhalla Golf Club, and this was the number one player in golf who showed up to work today, I believe, five shots off the lead, trying to win his second consecutive major, the only guy out there with a chance at a Grand Slam. This is his morning. He was detained by police, what it looks like, less than an hour after that awful accident outside of Valhalla Golf Club at 6:01 a.m., booked by the Louisville Department of Corrections in an orange jumpsuit shirt. At 7:28 a.m., Scheffler was released an hour and 12 minutes later at 8:40 a.m., and then 32 minutes later, he arrived at the golf club, and then 50 minutes later, teed off for the second round. Easily the most scrutinized second round of any player in the history, I would think, of a major golf championship, certainly of a number one player in the world. And Scheffler birdied the first hole.
Wow.
The 10th hole, he teed off the back on a rainy day. He bogeyed the next and then rolled in a 26-footer for birdie the next after that. He is currently through six holes at 5 under par. The leader, Xander Schauffele, will be teeing off in about 2.5 hours. What the what? Listen, I'm not going to sit here and opinionate on a darn thing. You know, the people who are adjudicating their job outside of the golf club, I have no earthly idea what the conditions were. I have no earthly idea what was going on there at all when Scottie Scheffler showed up. I have no idea. We don't have any idea if the officer saw the marked car, saw what was on the dashboard, if Scheffler saw what was going on, if Scheffler thought the guy was hanging on, was a fan. Honestly, no idea. I'm not making excuses for a single person. I was not there. Jeff Darlington is the only one that was there. All I'm saying is this is the wildest set of circumstances I have ever heard involving anything to do with any sport like this and involving anybody who's at the top of their game like this on the day of an actual event that he is teeing off in. This is crazy. I have no earthly idea. But certainly his legendary focus is going to be front and center today. And he is now through the first seven holes of his morning. And after that birdie, bogey, birdie start, he has parred the next four holes, and it is raining out there at Valhalla. And Suze, I will ask you to keep an eye on his round throughout the day and keep us updated as conditions warrant.
I will.
Meanwhile, the other story that I had mentioned, Denver Nuggets. Crazy thing happened on the way to sweeping the final four games of the series against the Timberwolves, who started with the first two wins of the series in Denver. Crazy thing happened. The Timberwolves showed up and won their first home game of this series. And Mike Conley comes back after missing game five with a sore Achilles. And he was distributing, he was scoring, he was doing everything. And the legendary Timberwolves defense showed up, holding Denver to just 30% from the floor, 19% from three, out-rebounding Denver 62-43, holding the Nuggets to a season-low 70. I've been telling everybody over the last week and a half, including the guy who's in Jacksonville on Sawgrass, we have to stop treating this series or any series or any playoff series in the NBA. And you could say the same thing about the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, too. You got to stop treating it like it's the NFL. Like, the latest result is exactly the narrative it's going to be, and we're going to stick with it, and we're going to talk about it until the next game, because the next game comes right up. And Anthony Edwards scored 27 last night in handing the Nuggets the worst ever defeat in the history of the NBA postseason for a defending champion. The largest deficit, largest margin of defeat by any defending champion in the following postseason was 36. This is 45. And it was even worse at one point. It's the largest margin of victory in the postseason since 2015. Second largest in the history of the NBA of any team facing elimination. So I don't know what this means for Game 7. Do you? Is anybody out there?
No.
You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have no idea. I think Anthony Edwards knew he was coming back to Denver, though.
Yeah, he was pretty certain.
Apparently, there was a rumor going around. He told the clubhouse attendant in Denver, see you this weekend. And he was asked about it and gave a classic Anthony Edwards response to the query.
Did you really tell the locker room staffer in Denver you were going to be back for
Hell
games?
Yeah. They know I was in there. Yeah, I told them. I said, I'll see y'all for Game 7.
Yeah. And that's a walk-off. Matt Leinart will be next.
He forgot to pound the table.
Thanks, day. Ant. I love that kid.
He's very likable.
How did Jokic take it? The three-time MVP being handed his lunch. A 45-point loss. Here's what Jokic had to say.
Nicole, you said this was a great loss. Can you just elaborate on what that means? Like, what do you mean by it being a great loss?
It's great, you know. They beat our ass. They were better than us in every segment of the game. And we need to accept it, you know, take it and just try to be better next time. You know, when you lose by 45, it's not like something happens every day. So just accept it, you know. I'm cool with it.
I'm cool with it. Go ahead and hit. You have the drop, I'm sure.
I'm cool with it.
No, you have that now. Oh, I thought the other Jokic drop that we've been playing. Because they're going to go home now.
We can go home now.
They're going to go back for Game 7.
There was a point in time where everyone was sitting on the bench. He was standing up, and he was just looking at what was going on. And you could see the wheels churning, and he was kind of like, okay, all right.
That's it?
So what else could he do?
They can go home now.
Yeah, they can go home now for Game 7. Isn't that amazing? A team that just was on its heels, hadn't won a game since Game 2, comes out and boat races the defending champs. So I guess Aaron Gordon can go back to dinner with the team. I don't know if you heard that story.
No.
Okay. He's been banned from the team dinner. And I learned about it by reading this man's work. Sam Amick of The Athletic is going to be joining us next. He was at Game 6, and it's time to check it out. So here we go. Sue Bird will join us at the top of hour number two. As Caitlin Clark, you want to talk about losses. The Indiana Fever followed up their 21-point loss in Connecticut with a 36-point loss last night in Indiana. And so I figured who better to talk about Caitlin Clark's first two games than a four-time WNBA champ and a former first overall pick in her own right. The great Sue Bird will join us in hour number two and Albert Breer in hour number three. The phone lines are already lit. Folks want to play the win-loss game. I love it. Sue, you've got the what's more likely?
I do. Today.
Very good. What's more likely Friday? That's the way we're rolling. 844-204-RICH, number to dial, your phone calls. But the senior NBA writer of The Athletic, Sam Amick, coming up. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
So I know why Sue's brought donuts, but why did you bring donuts, Jay? I mean, Susie always brings donuts, so, or something.
Because he's super nice.
No, I know that. I know that. I'm not criticizing.
It'll be a random Tuesday. I could be in a different country, and Brockman will be like, hey, bring donuts. I was like, all right, I'll finally make him happy, and he's not here.
See, so. It's always about Brockman. That's it.
What do you mean?
I mean, it's like he tells him to bring donuts. Like, Chris could stop and get donuts, but he tells Felly to bring donuts?
But
I mean, come on.
Listen, it's not the job of a co-host to get donuts. Right?
The job of the
Since
audio
I'm
engineer.
Asking the other co-host.
I wouldn't know, because I'm not the co-host, so I don't know.
Sports host?
Okay.
Sports host, Chris Brockman?
Chris gave himself that title. You can give yourself whatever title you want. Chris just gave himself that title. I will give you a title.
What is that title?
Brother in the Corner.
No, I hate that. That's absurd.
I don't like that either. I like the Grandmeister, because it's very Game of Thrones.
I just have to change the way I just... Think now.
Yeah, you do. I'm going to give you like a real sports psychology pep talk.
By the way, I don't mind if you call yourself co-host.
Well, I won't anymore, ever. Even though I did look it up.
What do you mean you looked it up?
Well, I said, looked up, what is the role of a co-host, if we have time?
Where?
On Google.
On what?
Google.
Okay. Where all things are accurate?
Of course.
Okay, sure.
The primary role of the co-host is that of a color commentator.
Yeah.
They react with commentary and comedy.
Okay.
Ask questions and tell stories. All these things I do.
Did Brockman write that too?
The yes and technique is critical to an engaging co-host. Say yes to the topic and help move the conversation forward.
That's totally you.
Okay. He also gave himself the title of senior producer. Who's the junior producer around here?
Isn't Hoskins the senior producer?
No, he's a coordinating producer.
Okay, how about with
By the
Don?
Way, I consider you the senior coordinating producer, Mike. You're senior. Even though there's no junior. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com. Or just stop by. Sam Amick, the senior NBA writer of The Athletic, kind enough to stick around in Minneapolis to Zoom with us the day after a blowout in Game 6 right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Sam. How are you, sir?
Good, Rich. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
All right. So what in the world happened last night? What happened?
It was wild. I mean, obviously the Wolves, you thought at some point we're going to wake up. And I thought it might be a competitive game. I didn't see a 45-point drubbing. And also, Rich, early on, the Nuggets go up 9-2. The locals, it's funny, I haven't been to Minneapolis in quite a few years, to be honest. I can't even remember the last time. But the people here were telling me that, kind of educating me, that Wolves fans, because of the history, are very, very pessimistic. And the mood going into the game, because of the three losses, was fairly dour. I even had some of the front office guys on the Minnesota side talking about the fact that it was so much different than the way it felt coming into game three. And then when they go down 9-2, everybody's heads are kind of going down even more. But then that 27-2 run that Minnesota put together was pretty wild. And combination of them getting back to the defense they played in the first two games, but also the Nuggets just missing shots. And next thing you know, this thing was out of hand.
Is it true Chris Finch and the staff put together sort of a defensive hype tape to show the team before game six, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a sucker for trying to learn about the behind-the-scenes stuff, and we'll get into the Nuggets side of that later, I think. But on the Wolves side, about 25 minutes before tip-off, they show them you described it well, it's a hype video. It's not a film session. It's not a conventional let's break down tape, look at the offensive side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball. This was let's get you excited for the game and remind you how good you were in the first two games. And it had, it was produced with music, some rap that the guys enjoyed. and just was very different, very strange in a good way. And Anthony Edwards was the one who called this out after the game, giving the coaching staff credit, and actually thought that it changed the mood. He said that after the three games that there had been some finger pointing and you know, again, the attitude of the guys wasn't great. Seems like that video helped.
And also made him man of his word, telling the Denver staff in the visitors' locker room, we'll see you for game seven, right?
He did indeed. This young guy, you know, he's going to break a new unofficial record in league history for dropping just somewhat endearing F-bombs and not getting fined by the NBA, because typically they frown upon that, and I'm sure they still do. But yeah, in that quote that you're referencing, he confirmed the story about telling the locker room attendant, you know, we'll see y'all MFers in game seven, with a big old smile on his face. And obviously he's right.
Are you saying Anthony Edwards is so endearing that even Adam Silver's willing to just put on earmuffs? Is that what you're saying, Sam?
All I know is that that's what the Timberwolves are hoping, because when he dropped not one but two F-bombs in that press conference, it ended in pretty comical form, because after the second one, one of their PR folks who does a great job was on the side of the press conference, and he immediately just said, okay, thanks everybody, we're done. You know,
tip your waitress, my gosh.
Yes.
Try the wine. Sam Amick here on the Rich Eisen Show. Does this mean now that the Nuggets lost this game that Aaron Gordon's allowed back into the team dinner, Sam? Does that mean that now?
I mean, I think so. First of all, they better win a game on Sunday in order to earn the chance to have a team dinner on the road. You know, the way it looked last night, that they might have had their last team dinner of this season. But yeah, you know, again, fun backstory that I wrote about after game five was that I had asked a bunch of the Nuggets players between game two and three, when you had, you know, 3 days in between games, a lot of time to think about the way you got your backside handed to you in the first two games. What did you all do to get your heads right? I had asked Aaron this question, and he shared, you know, a quick personal story about some stuff that he bought. And then eventually he looks at DeAndre Jordan in the locker room after game five, and he says, hey, DJ, y'all going to dinner tomorrow night? And I'll be honest, Rich, at first I was just confused, and I didn't even ask Aaron. Like, in my head, I was like, why is he saying, are y'all going to dinner, not are we going to dinner? What I would later learn is that because Aaron missed the team dinner heading into game three in Minneapolis when they went to a steakhouse here in town, and he essentially had other plans and just didn't make it, because he missed it and then they won the game, this was a classic case of good old-fashioned sports superstition, where his teammates, and mainly DeAndre Jordan, decided, like, bro, we just won game three, so you are definitely not coming to dinner heading into game four. So they had dinner again, everybody on the team except for Aaron Gordon. They win game four, you know, and so then when they were heading back to Minneapolis heading into game six, the trend continued. I don't know what Aaron did on his own, if he maybe ate with the coaches or, you know, a little bit of
service.
Uber Eats.
Room service, probably.
But he was on the outside looking in.
Oh, my gosh. And so, you know, I'm sure, Suze, when you were covering the Lakers going back in the day, you heard about that sort of stuff all the time, of these team superstition and things of that nature.
Yeah, Sam, I was laughing because that's what happened all the time when we'd be on the road and somebody would be sitting in the wrong seat and then they couldn't sit in the same seat. That happened in Sacramento a lot. God, we were in Sacramento a lot.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that was the cowbell era quite a bit.
That was it. And yeah, there were so many times. Like, that's the best part about traveling with the team and getting to know all the players, because you're like, you just see some of that stuff. And so-and-so carried the bag the wrong way and took the wrong elevator.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely. I was a little surprised they strayed. You know, they basically picked on Aaron here, because they did end up changing the location of the dinner. So I was a little off in the first report. Steakhouse the first night and then back at the hotel. So, you know, the superstition had limits, but Aaron's involvement, Aaron's attendance was the part they were stubborn on.
And plus, his performance on the court was a major reason why they're back in game six. Game six existed, right? You know, I mean, that's pretty harsh, Sam. But
I'd be a little sad if I was AG. Like, come on, guys. I'm out here. I mean, he's been drawing Kobe Bryant references, you know, with those couple games he had in between. I think he was 10 of 11 from the field in in game five, I believe. So, no, I'm with you. But, I mean, Aaron is nothing if not selfless. That's what his teammates say all the time. That's his role on this team. So, apparently, he was willing to eat solo if that's what it took.
Yeah, but at least they didn't give him the check.
I know. That's another
that
one.
That would have been even worse.
They could have really that's stuck him fair. With it.
Although, listen, I hear you. That, as he shared with me, then I'll share this. This was in the piece. But the side story, I don't know if you guys caught this. Aaron Gordon's way of handling the frustration of the first two games was he bought some three-wheel cars for his family members. And so I think he could probably handle his dinner check, considering I looked up the car that he told me that he was buying, and it sounded like he bought multiple, to be honest with you. And, you know, I mean, they're 30 to 50K, but the way he talked about them was as if he, you know, bought his family dinner and not something to take on the road.
Man, well, now he definitely needs to advance to get a bigger playoff share if that happens for the Denver Nuggets. So, and I'm just, before we move on to the rest of the series, why don't I just, I don't know, my spidey sense in our business is just going to, about our business is going to, that Jokic is going to get a slightly lit up for saying he's cool with it. Like, this was a good loss, you know? But I guess when you're down by that many, you got to just shrug it off, bury the tape as they would do, you know, in football. What's your two cents on that one, Sam?
Yeah, to be honest, I hadn't even seen the quote. And sorry, guys, hopefully you can hear me okay.
No worries. Go for it.
Here.
Yep.
I hadn't seen that quote until now. I was on the Wolves side last night. And I'm sure, you know, the public and the internet being what it is, he's going to get lit up. It doesn't matter, though. I mean, what matters is what the Nuggets do in game seven. And there have been some of those types of moments in these playoffs. You know, for one, even me, you know, after game five or late in game five, you know, I was actually making a point to watch Anthony Edwards' demeanor after the third quarter heading into the fourth when they were getting beat pretty bad. And, you know, you never know what to make of certain things. And Ant was sitting on the bench with some teammates smiling and laughing in the kind of way that you wouldn't expect to see. And I remember thinking that that's a little strange. And then sure enough, I mean, what do I know? He played great in game six and they responded. You know, LeBron in the Nuggets series, if you guys remember, had a line that was taken out of context everywhere where he said, it's just basketball, you know? So, and Joker, you got to remember too, he does every single press conference as a matter of obligation. You know, he's gotten actually better at them, but in terms of like his words and thoughts and feelings coming out in a meaningful way that indicates his state of mind, I don't always think that's the case. You know, after game two, it was a good quote, but he had that line about how he needed to clone himself. It almost sounded defeatist, like he didn't have any way of you know, doing what he does against Karl Anthony Towns and Gobert and Naz Reid. So personally, I don't think it means much, but I'm sure folks are going to talk about it.
Sam Amick of The Athletic here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what else, what is the other major story of these playoffs as we head to the third or fourth weekend of these NBA playoffs right now, Sam?
Well, I mean, admittedly, Rich, I've been pretty West heavy. So, I mean, in the East, you got the, you know, Celtics trying to live up to their expectations, this title or bust. You know, we'll see if the Knicks can finish the job tonight and if that's going to be the series on the other side. I do think that, man, this OKC-Dallas matchup is so interesting because you have this fun combination of young and old. And Luka's not old, but he's not nearly as young as those guys on the Thunder side. And at times he looks a whole lot older because he's pretty banged up and he's got kind of an old man game to begin with. So, you know, that next game to me is going to be fun to watch because, you know, another guy who's got years on Luka being Kyrie Irving. I'm so fascinated by Kyrie's ability to have such a redemptive playoff run right now. And it's been somewhat under the radar when you talk about the way he's carried himself, the way he's played, and obviously the narrative shift from how disastrous of a, you know, kind of a profile he had just a couple of years ago. He's now the adult in the room who is finding guys offensively, figuring out when he has to score. He's had some bad moments in this series, but mostly been really good. And he's the only guy on the court in that series with the championship ring. And, you know, so, you know, the idea of, is that going to bear out? And is Dallas going to move on and be in the conference finals? Or are these young Thunder with a bunch of guys that were still learning their games and their names, you know, are they going to shock the world and keep going here?
A few minutes left with Sam Amick of The Athletic, senior NBA writer. Since you're out west, as you mentioned, you're west-focused following the Timberwolves and the Nuggets, and you just mentioned what was going on with the Mavericks and the Thunder. What are people saying? Your ear to the ground, or, you know, hanging out in the hotel lobby or in a locker room about LeBron's opus one night sitting courtside of game four of the Celtics and the Cavs, sitting there in Cleveland, white pants with the red wine, which is, again, very, that, you know, that's very risky, but
that's bold.
That's what he's all about. But what did you make of this? What are people making of all of this? Is there any there, Sam?
I mean, it's LeBron. We know how calculated he is. You know, I'll never forget Summer League, the summer that he went to in Vegas before he went to the Lakers. I was sitting baseline at the game. He actually sat right in front of me at his courtside seat. And you guys remember, he was wearing an outfit that had all kinds of purple and gold. And, you know, and of course people started taking that as a sign that he was going to the Lakers. And sure enough, he did. So, you know, there are times when there is a lot of there. With this one, I don't know how to unpack it other than, you know, applying pressure to the Lakers when it comes to reminding them that, yes, our relationship is in a good place. Yes, it looks very likely that I'm returning to play for the purple and gold. But they and we have a coach's decision to make here. We have trades to pursue. And so his free agency and the fact that he has not indicated publicly or privately what he's going to do, you know, showing up at the Cavs game is the easiest way to offer that reminder. You know, we all know that when the All-Star game was there, you know, he had done an interview with our Jason Lloyd at The Athletic telling him that he thought about coming home again. So the Cleveland thing is an easy way to apply that pressure again. All that being said, it was Mother's Day weekend. I believe he was there to spend some time with his mom and to go back to his, you know, to his school. That's an incredible, you know, just endeavor that he has. And he did some stuff out there as well. So he checked a lot of boxes, but I'm sure the Lakers noticed.
So what does he want, Sam? What would he want if he could wave a wand about those trades and about the coaching decision? What would he want?
I don't have total clarity on the trade front. I think he wants aggressiveness because that's always his default. Now, ever since the Russell Westbrook trade didn't work, LeBron has lost juice in Lakerland. He just has. They have not listened to him as much. And it's funny because the narrative and the idea that Clutch Sports runs the Lakers just couldn't be farther from the truth. A lot of times, most times, they are told no. This is different because he has the leverage right now. He has, you know, they really, really, really want him back. They are all still all in on the LeBron business. So I don't know if that's, you know, I mean, Trae Young is a guy that honestly has been tied to them a lot. And I think there's a divided room within the Lakers on whether or not Trae would help them. It does seem like there is some favor coming from the Clutch side for a possible Trae pairing. And he is also a Clutch client. You know, Donovan Mitchell is another guy that we're going to be talking about all summer. You know, I'm curious how LeBron sees him. The other thing, though, that we should highlight, I know we focus on LeBron so much, is that the fellow Clutch client on the Lakers, Anthony Davis, you know, AD is the future of the Lakers. And I think we are guilty sometimes of, again, because LeBron's the free agent this summer, of focusing too much on LeBron and not enough on AD. Like when they chose to fire Darvin Ham, I was told that one of the many, many considerations was it was pretty evident that AD was not on board anymore with Darvin. And they know, like everybody else, that AD has a history of having asked for trades in the past. That's how he got to the Lakers from New Orleans. Last thing they wanted was for AD to be frustrated with the situation and maybe have those types of thoughts cross his mind. So that's, to me, what's unique about this offseason for the Lakers is that even within Clutch, you might have some different opinions about coach and players when it comes to LeBron and AD, because one guy represents the future and the other guy, LeBron, is obviously near the end here.
So that mandates the follow-up. Are you saying the Lakers might be more deferential to Anthony Davis's thoughts on the coach than LeBron's?
I think they'll have to find a way to strike that balance, because again, they can't lose the LeBron piece of the puzzle, and I don't think they will. But they certainly they do care a great deal about AD feeling comfortable going forward.
Sam, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Your insights are great to read. They make me smarter and give me the background that I need. And this conversation prior to the Game 7 with you on your travels and your movements, I greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. Appreciate you.
You got it. At Sam_Amick on X, Twitter. Follow him. That's how I saw initially that article about Aaron Gordon being told you're not allowed at the team dinners.
That's pretty funny.
You missed the one that led to a 3-game win streak. You are not allowed at the next. And just shows you the silliness of superstition.
Right.
Not at the dinner. And can't they lose by 45. So he had nothing to do with the 3-game win streak except for what he did on the court.
Yeah. You know, what do you have that game?
You're not superstitious, right, Suze? You're not.
I mean, for some things.
Like
not,
what?
Not like, like I what? Have to sit in the same seat all the time.
Like what?
I have OCD. That's not superstitious.
That's correct.
No. Different.
Right.
But wait, can we just go back to one thing I think that's so interesting?
Go ahead.
Is that he led into this whole idea of the Lakers coaching. And, you know, we've heard rumors about J.J. Redick. We've heard rumors that Coach K is consulting with the Lakers. This will be really crazy if it's a two clutch clients, right? Mm-hmm. Well, obviously LeBron is an owner, but where will they go with this? The Lakers haven't had turnover in the coaching like this. I mean, this is unprecedented. And will they go with AD and look at the future? I mean, LeBron's used to getting his way, and that's really what it sounded like in El Segundo for so long.
Well, putting all the pieces together of all of our guests that we've had this conversation with since Darvin Ham got fired, it's just they got to pony up. They got to pay if they want somebody with trophies already in the case, or if they want to go tell Tyronn Lue, hey, don't listen to Ballmer anymore. It doesn't matter how much he's going to give you, we prefer you here. So does LeBron. We would like you to stay in crypto while they move to into a dome. And here's the money to show you. And that's not been their MO. That has not been their MO to pay coaches since, I guess, Phil?
No, because it's been a privilege to be the Lakers coach in so many ways. And I don't think Ballmer would ever let Lou go. They've got that new building opening up. Right. I'm actually going to walk through it in 2 weeks.
Is that right?
With a hard hat and steel-toed boots
you
and
are?
The whole bit. Yeah. I'm excited. And
are you sure the boots are going to have steel toes in them?
Yes. In fact, we got
my
friend
that,
Sarah
that,
Harden and I got a notice that we have to wear steel-toed boots or we can't come in.
Do you
and they will provide us
boots?
With steel-toed boots.
You know who loves to wear a hard hat? Steve Ballmer loves to wear that hard hat.
He
walks around with the, you know, with the Dayglo slicker and everything like that. He might show up to the first game even with no construction around dressed like that.
It's part of his brand now.
No,
right?
Steve Ballmer loves walking around the Intuit Dome looking like he's part of the Village People.
He does, with a little vest on.
Remember his favorite part?
Yeah, Gillian Zucker, the president of the Clippers, invited us to come down and walk around.
Do you
and
get
I
a plus one? Dropping a name.
Seuss? Little name drop.
Do you get a plus one from a real Clipper fan to take?
You should
only
take
if
TJ.
You're a co-host.
No.
I'll never make it there.
No.
Dang it.
Sorry. The prerequisite is, do you have any boots with steel toes?
Of course.
Okay, then you're allowed.
But we'll I don't think, in. So back to, sorry guys, I know you guys want to talk about fashion, but I want to talk about the NBA.
So much.
And I just feel like this is going to be fascinating to watch. Ballmer's not going to let somebody go.
I agree.
To the Lakers.
I agree.
The hubris. He finally.
Right.
This is his dome, his year, his
right.
build.
I get it. But Tyronn Lue also could coach LeBron and Anthony Davis and be the coach of the Lakers and make just as much money, as opposed to wondering if Kawhi's going to get hurt again, or if Paul George and Kawhi can, you know, are going to be the right mix, and what's going on with Harden and all of that stuff.
But is he really the coach?
I don't know.
That's a tough one, because going with those two guys there, I mean, that's
just
a lot
of that right
is
now.
Is that a Butch Hobson situation?
Look at you dropping Butch Hobson.
Wow, that's the first.
That's right. I remember. You
is
know
that
what?
A Butch Hobson situation?
He had. I think a steel toe glove.
Mm.
All right, we'll take a break here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH. Phone lines are lit.
Toilets.
There's the man, Steve Ballmer. He might show up to the first game looking like that.
I want that vest.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about
how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Well, I mean, and that's why I'm wondering why you would go by the name of Matty Ice, Matt. That's why I'm wondering. I mean, that's a beer-infused nickname, and it doesn't fit anymore. So. Would you agree it doesn't fit anymore, Matt?
Are you is the Mattrel coming back, or are we making a push for the Mattrel here?
No, I'm pointing out that certain nickname that you've had for a long time.
I like beer. I do like beer.
Right. So when it comes to it, though, you're not slamming them back, right? Is what you're saying?
No, I guess I'm drinking responsibly.
Okay. Something that would be a natural light of some sort, man. What are you drinking? What are you drinking?
It's been a long time.
See, you keep making my point. Why won't you take the natural from me, man? Why won't you do it? I mean, how many times do I have to ask? How many times do I have to ask?
There's just nobody else wants it.
Are you aware I offered it to Stafford, your buddy?
Is that right?
Yes.
He didn't take it either.
Well, I mean,
that's a no, Matt.
Hold on a minute. Excuse me. Hold on. I gave him full disclosure that it was a retread and that you had rejected it. Because I know you guys talk. I know you guys are tight, right?
He forgot to mention it to me the last time I saw him.
I can't believe that wasn't top of mind for him. Okay, so just on behalf of all my loved ones who are cringing right now, just tell me to move on, Matt, and I'll move on. Just tell me to move on.
Rich, you got to move on. You got to move on. I love you, but you got to move on.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you so much.
Even if I gave you a T-shirt or anything? All right, Matt, I can take a hint after 9 years or so. Too bad. Happy 39th birthday to the Mattrel. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, check out the Game Time app. Put it on a mobile device near you and start getting tickets. Certainly to the basketball playoffs. There's a big game in Denver this weekend. If you're in the area, take the Game Time app, download it on your phone, and you can check out the tickets that are available. Views from the seat, you can check that out. You get the all-in pricing as well. So you, before checkout, get to see how much everything costs all in one fell swoop. And if you want to wait and hold, Braveheart style, you can check out the prices on the Game Time app. They actually go down the closer it gets to tick-off. So take the guesswork out of buying basketball tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use our code RICH. $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create your account, redeem the code RICH, you get $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Sue Bird's our next guest, top of the next hour. Yeah. The four-time WNBA champion, talking about the first couple of games of the WNBA season. This just in. The WNBA is filled with great players.
Yeah. In case you didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah. One of them's name is Breonna Stewart, two-time MVP. Last night dropped 31 in Indiana. She and Sabrina Ionescu, another, by the way, both of them are number one overall draft picks of their own right. They combined for 45, 20, and 8 as just 9 points on 8 shots for Caitlin Clark. Diana Taurasi said something along the lines of it will take a long time for Clark to adjust, right? That basically was saying, she was saying prior to the WNBA season, winter is coming.
She did.
And it has arrived.
And people thought she was being a hater.
No, she's not. No.
It's just reality.
It makes it, it's kind of, it's just like any major professional sports league. When a rookie comes in, very few of them look like CJ Stroud, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that happened last night. and the minus 57 for the Indiana Fever through the first two games of the season is the worst two-game start for any team in the 28-year history of the WNBA. Didn't see that on the Caitlin Clark bingo card coming in.
I mean, you know,
but we knew, right, TJ, that they're not a good team. That's why they got her.
Yeah.
In basketball, as we discussed, is a chemistry sport. I talked about that with Don Bowie earlier, too. And there's not a whole lot of time to develop chemistry yet. I am not one of the people that thinks that the WNBA started when Caitlin Clark came. There's a lot of incredible women before.
Yes,
but I also am not willing to, you know what, on her right now because she's not off to an MJ start.
Well, that's what the haters will do. Look, she'll be fine. It's just going to take a little bit of time. You got to acclimate. It's more physical. You're playing against the top 1% of female basketball players in the world are in this league.
And I look forward to asking Sue about this. This was Clark's quote last night. By the way, they didn't send her to the podium.
I was a little shocked by that.
They didn't. Well, I mean, it's just at some point, you know, plus so many of the members of our profession are getting like weird around her and showing her videos and saying, you know, hey, my kids love this or my, you know.
Way too
you say
familiar
hi
with her.
Or, you know what I mean? And it's just. But also,
well, she became the face of the sport.
Just give her a breather, you know. But, and it's kind of crazy for me to say that just two games into her career. But all that said, this quote: the physicality is definitely up there. I'm easily pushed off screens. The game seems a little fast for me right now. The more I play, the more comfortable I get. It's going to slow down a little bit. It'll be easier for me to make reads, see things develop. You know what that is? Sounds like a rookie. That's it. So Sue Bird's going to join us to have this conversation coming up. And the crazy thing is the Liberty team that she just got boat raced by, she's going to Madison Square Garden next.
Oh, it's on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of crazy. If the Pacers tonight force a game seven, it'll go Liberty Fever, Knicks Pacers in Indiana, and then Fever Liberty, Pacers Knicks in New York City. Over a four-day stretch.
Sick.
Right?
And the Liberty were the runner-up last year.
Yeah.
They had, like you said, two of the best players.
Returning five starters.
Yeah, two of the best players in the world. Two former number one picks, you know.
So, that's
get
our...
Get her now, though, Rich.
That's right. Sound like Dion, right?
Get her now.
Get her now. Get in now. So Sue Bird will join us top of hour number two here on this What's More Likely Friday with all of us and you. And if you're on hold, stay on hold. We will take your calls. And I'm saying that now here on the Roku channel as well. If you're on hold, stay on hold. Two things. One, we'll get to you all because I know a lot of you have called back from yesterday. And two, Susie does not like leaving phone callers on the table when we're done with the show.
No, people are so nice about calling in.
You got
and
on
waiting.
The phone and you told them you white glove treated all of our callers holding on at the end of the show yesterday.
Because I'm always appreciative when people sit there and wait, and I don't want them to feel like we don't appreciate them. We really appreciate them. So I will pick up the phone because I think it's fun.
Okay.
And then say like, hey, hold on. And by the way, if you don't get on today, guess who's sitting over there on Monday?
The best mom ever be sitting right here.
Oh, I just know she had your sign up.
Oh, yeah. I put it over there.
That was nice, honey. Thank you.
I put it over there. I set her up yesterday.
We're seeing Caitlin Clark a week from Friday.
Yes, she's coming here.
With Taylor and her buddies.
The LA Sparks were going to have their first six games of the season, I think, down in Long Beach.
Yeah, that's where they're at.
And they moved it back to Crypto when it was Caitlin Clark officially became an Indiana Fever.
Because because we wouldn't go down to Long Beach, but now that it's in Crypto.
No, we would. I'll tell you, though, I don't know if we would have been able to get into Long Beach.
I know. Crazy.
It's a much smaller venue. It's going to be lit next Friday, and that's what's great. It's excitement. It's people paying attention, and obviously we're part of it. We're part of it here. Sue Bird coming up in hour number two right here on The Rich Eisen Show on a What's More Likely Friday as well.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together,
It's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on. Right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? Can you pay me more?
Jeff Smith right? teaches on the sliding scale.
Those weekend golf guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.